So let's just turn our attention to the Word of God. And I'd like to share something that's burning in my heart this morning, something for you. Amen. Why don't we just pray? Father, we just dedicate this service to you. We thank you so much for the worship. I believe the worship this morning was a direct preparation for this word this morning. The words that were communicated during the worship, the songs that were picked, and the proclamation that was made is a direct preparation for this word. I believe this whole service has been ordained by you, that you are here from the beginning and you are here to minister to us. I pray as the word is spoken, it will go forth in power, it will go forth in strength, it will touch our hearts, it will change our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
So words are so important, aren't they? So important that we speak the right words. And if we don't communicate well, things can get mixed up. Isn't that true? There was an old man that was looking at his wife. They'd been married for 50 years. He's getting a bit romantic, you know, the old fella. He's looking at his old wife and he's saying, oh, you know, she's a good old girl, you know. And he says, hey, dear. He says, after all these years, I must say you're tried and true. And she goes, what? He said, hey, dear. After 50 years, you're tried and true. She goes, huh? After 50 years, you're tried and true. And she said, oh, after 50 years, I'm tired of you too. So we've got to get the words right, haven't we? If we don't get the words right, we can mess things up, true? And that's exactly what I want to speak to you about this morning. That's exactly what God has put on my heart, that words matter. What we say matters. What we declare matters. It is absolutely important that what we say is in account in what is in our heart, because it matters and it creates the world that we live in. And I'd like you to turn to a scripture found in Mark chapter 11. This is my main scripture this morning, and I'd like you to turn there. We'll come back to it at the end, but this is the main scripture for this morning. Mark chapter 11, verse 23. And it says this, reading just a bit before that, Jesus said, have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says, it will be done. And he will have whatever he says. I want you to say that word, he will have whatever he... I want you to hear it a little bit louder. He will have whatever he... He will have... Whatever he says. Just on the basis of that scripture, if I didn't preach any more, if I didn't say one thing more, just on the basis of that scripture, who would say that what we say is important? We all have mountains in our life and we all have obstacles in our life. We all have things we have to overcome. But whatever you say about that mountain, whatever you declare to that mountain, whatever you speak over that mountain is what you shall have. So words matter. Now the truth of the thing is that God has created you for blessing. That's why I liked what you were singing in your worship this morning. You were saying, good will be done to me. You have created goodness over me. All things work together for good. Amen? We're declaring blessing over our lives. We're declaring the goodness of God over our lives. You have been created by God for blessing. There was a Garden of Eden created. It had no curse. There was nothing in the Garden of Eden that was against you. You were created to be in perfect peace with God. You were created to be sustained by God. You were created to live under the blessing of God. Then sin entered the world and changed that blessing, and the curse entered the world. And because of the curse, we have trouble, we have difficulty, we have sickness, we have lots of problems in our lives. But Praise and glory be to God that Jesus Christ has come to overcome the evil one so that the blessing can be returned to you, so that we can overcome sickness, that we can overcome difficulty, so that we can overcome problems, because you are destined, you are designed, you are created to live under the blessing of God. Come on, get excited about it. I'm Italian, man. You gotta get excited for an Italian, eh? You gotta say amen. Amen. All right. See, all those memories are coming back, Pastor Yanko, I'll tell you. All right. So we see in the scripture that it's important that our words are very important, because we release our faith over any obstacle and any situation by our words, by what we say. You got some, you know, in the church here, Pastor Yanko. If you have a churches always have something to overcome, some obstacle to increase, something to you know, it's a walk of faith. I live by faith. I understand faith. It's something you've got to push through into. But how you get there is by the tools of faith, and one of the tools of faith is by what you say. If you declare things lacking in faith or of doubt, you will not achieve what God has called you to do. But if something God puts a thing before you, say it's like we need to buy the property next door, for example, right? This for example. Let's say we have to buy the property next door. Oh, but we, you know, you say, but we don't have any money. Right? I don't know if you're buying the property next door. I'm just using that as an example, but why not? Okay? Let's buy the university. Let's go big, right? Right? But we don't have any money. Okay? What are your words? How can faith work if you've already declared by faith that you don't have any money? Can you see? Amen. So words matter. We can't declare negativity and expect positive results. We've got to, if we want to see faith happen in our lives, we've got to declare the word of God over our lives. We've got to declare it in faith so that it may happen. Oh, you know, I'm married, but oh, she's an old bag. Right? Are you going to have a good marriage with that sort of speech? If you're married, you already know the answer to that. It ain't going to be going good for you, right? But if you say something different, like you say, I'm married, and what a blessed wife I have. How blessed am I to have her? I can guarantee just by your words, you're speaking faith into that situation. Amen? So it's very important that the words that we speak. Now, in Revelation, go to Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, it even gives more understanding about how important words are. Words are important because it's actually through our words of faith that we overcome the enemy. Look at Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcome him, first of all, by the blood of the Lamb," because of Jesus Christ and the sacrificial death that he did on the cross, and by the word, of their testimony. How do we overcome the accuser? You know, the devil's up there saying, "You're a bad person. You'll never make it as a Christian. You're a failure." That's what the devil's saying. But how do we overcome that? Have you ever heard those thoughts in your mind? Who's never heard those? I've heard those thoughts in my mind. The devil comes to you, "Oh, you're not so good. You're bad. You know, you're a failure. You're not really doing it here. You're not really doing that." You know, these are the devil thoughts, right? How do we overcome that? Hey, I am a child of the living God. I'm washed by the blood of the Lamb. And I declare that I am a king's kid. I am a heir of God. I am a child of God. And you have no right to say that over my life. By the word of my testimony, I overcome the evil one. How important is word? Word is put up there with, you know, like, it's one thing to have the salvation act of Jesus Christ, but we've got to enact our faith by our words about that salvation. Amen? So we overcome the accuser by the word of our testimony. How important are words? Important. Amen? Let's look at another scripture. And this is easy to find. My dad was a gang leader, actually, when he first accepted Christ. He used to go around beating up the skippies. The skippies are the Australian people, right? He was in the 1950s, come over as a migrant from Italy, and he was a leader of a gang, and he used to go around beating people up. And then an accident happened, and a miraculous healing came into his life, and as a result of that healing and the healing of his mother, he accepted Jesus Christ. At the moment he got out of hospital, he went to Bible college, but he didn't know anything about the Bible. He just heard the call of God and off he went. And so his very first lecture, he's sitting in Bible college, and the principal of the Bible college says, "Now, students, I'd like you to turn to Genesis." And my dad got his Bible out and he's going, he didn't know where Genesis was. Okay, so if there's anybody like that this morning, Genesis is the first book, okay? So in Genesis, I want to show you again how important words are, because we can take the example of God himself. Let's see what he says in Genesis. In Genesis there it says, reading from chapter 1, verse 3, "And God... And God..." I like it to be a little bit louder than that. Remember, I'm an Italian. "And God..." "God said, let there be light, and there was light." And in fact, if you go down that scripture and you read it, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that it was light, and it was good. And then God said, let there be firmament, and there was firmament in the midst of the waters. And he divided the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and so it was good. And God said, it actually declares 10 times that God said. In fact, in the Hebrew, there is no these and a's and linking sort of pronouns, right? There isn't any. So actually in the Hebrew, it says it better. It says, God said, light be. Light was. Now, let's get this in our thought. All of creation was created by what? The words of God. All of creation, you, were created by the words of God. How important are words? Very important. I'd say, if we look at the example of God himself, they're absolutely, absolutely important. Amen? Are you enjoying this little Bible study? Because I'm going to declare to you this in a moment. Mark 11, verse 23, which says this. If you say to this mountain, be removed, it shall be removed. I'm going to declare that to you this morning in a little while. But before we declare that, I want you to get the word of God into you. I want it to be founded not just on a good idea. I don't want it to be founded just on a thought. I want you to see from the word of God that words actually affect faith into your life. They actually create faith in your life. And it's through our spoken word that we enable faith to take root in our lives by the word of God. Amen? So we need to do this little study. You're going to come with me on this journey? You enjoying this little study? Got your Bible out? Got your notes out? Got your iPhone out with all the Bible on it? You ready to go? Yeah. Amen. We used to have a Bible, you know, but now we've got everything else, the iPhone, everything else. I can't keep up. You notice I still use paper and pen and a Bible, because a lot of the countries I go to, they don't have electricity. All right. So, when God says or does anything, he always says it first. Let's go to another scripture. Now, this one's found in Romans 10. This is so important. How do we receive our salvation? Romans 10, verse 8. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you confess with what? How do you receive your salvation? Confession with your words. In faith. What's in your heart? Amen? We receive our salvation by our confession. How important are words? Really important. Now we see that words have creative power. Let's look at Hebrews. So the first point is that words are important and they release our faith. The second point is that words have power. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at various times, reading the first three verses, God who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers and the prophets, and in these last days has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory and upholding all things by the word of his power. How are things held together? By the word of his power. Words have power. You know, actually, I've got a science degree. I'm sorry to all you Newcastle Uni people, but I'm actually a Sydney Uni graduate, all right? The real university, the original one, okay? Okay, just putting a bit of dig out there. So I'm a science graduate, and, you know, I love physics and I love chemistry, and one of the things that that we learned about is how, you know, used to be neutrons and but quarks and things, and how atoms hang together and all this sort of thing, right? The one thing, they used to have this theory about, you know, positive and negative things, and they opposites attract and all this sort of stuff. And, you know, they could never explain why an atom just doesn't fly off. They could never explain that. Oh yeah, it hangs together, but what makes it hang together? I could never explain it. But my Bible says he holds all things together by the word of his power. Words have power, amen? Amen. And let's look at another scripture. How much power do words have? So powerful, let's look. Turn to John chapter 1. Who thinks Jesus is powerful? Is Jesus powerful? What has he come? To anoint to bring us healing, to overcome the enemy? Who thinks he's powerful? He's conquered sin and death. Amen? All right, let's look at who this Jesus is. In the beginning was the... And the... Was with God... And the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God. And in John 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. You see, get this. If we're going to operate in the things of God, and take my life for example, I live on the edge, right? When I go to Pakistan, I could die. That's the truth. I've got to know by the Holy Spirit whether I should talk to this person or not talk to this person. When I'm having a government meeting, I've got to know if this person's a zealot or not a zealot. How do I know? I don't know because I don't know the culture. I can't speak the language. When they're doing some gesture, I can't do body language because I don't know the culture. If they were Italian and they were going like, you know, like this, I'm thinking, wow, we're in trouble. But they don't do that. They've got some other Pakistani thing, right, that they do, right? I don't know how, and if I speak wrongly to somebody, it could mean that they could be an uprising, there could be, you know, a bombing, there could be you know, it's quite legal to kill Christians over there. And so I could die. How do I know? I've got to listen to the word by the Holy Spirit and go that way by faith. Okay? So when I say, you know, you've got to know the ways of God in order to do that, take my life as an example where I hang in life and death, right? You've got to know the tools. And one of the tools of operating faith in your life, if you want to overcome things in your life, if you want to see your life changed, if you want to accomplish things in your life, if you want your circumstances to change, if you want your finances to change, if you want healing to come into your life, you've got to know the tools of, well, I could say the tools of the trade, the tools of Christianity. And one of them is being able to speak the word in faith. If you can't first speak it, you can never have it. If you can't first declare it, you can never believe it. Because the first step, before God did anything, he spoke the word and then it was. He said, light be. And guess what? Light was. And in the same way, as a Christian living a spirit-filled Christian living in this day, if you want to see the thing of God happen in your life, if you want to see God accomplish amazing things first in your life, you've got to take the word of God and you've got to declare the power of the word over your situation, over your life, so that it can be accomplished in your life by faith. Amen? Amen. Do I hear an amen? Amen? Oh, come on, give me a little bit bigger amen than that. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God has given us tools to overcome. Amen. Amen. Oh, I'm getting excited now. Whew. I'm just warming up. Amen. So, words have incredible power. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. It says in Proverbs 18, verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat of its fruit. Whatever you speak, in other words, what the scripture is saying is, whatever you speak, you shall have. And you know what? You're a child of God. God has come and redeemed you from your sin. God has released you from the power of the enemy. God has released you from the power of the devil. You're not bound by him. You're not constrained by this world. You're not forced by circumstances. You live above circumstances by the power of the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. He dwells in you. He's given you all the authority. He makes you sit at the right hand of God, our Father, as a brethren and brother of Christ. He has given you incredible privilege. He's made you higher than the angels now. He's given you salvation. He has set you free from any sin. He set you free from any curse. And now all you need to do is declare the word of God over your life and begin to see faith operate in your life to overcome any obstacle, because if you declare the word of God in your life, you're going to eat of its fruit. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And this scripture here will shock you. Matthew chapter 12. You know that Jesus said these words because you know why? It's in red. In the Bible, when it's ever in red, Jesus spoke, okay? And Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 37, "For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." How important is our words? You know, as Christians, we don't realize how important this is. And I prayed about coming here this morning, Pastor. And God gave me very strongly to talk about how important is what we say. I don't know what's happening in this situation. I haven't had, you know, a long coffee with Pastor Yanko. Tell me about all your lives or anything. Like, I know nothing, except that I grew up here, right? I know Lorenzo in the back of the air. I know Sister Palmer. I know Pastor Yanko, Mariella. I know a few people, but I don't know your situation. I don't know what's happening in the church. I know nothing. But God spoke to me about this. In order to go to the next level as a church, in order to increase your capacity is to declare the words of faith over your life. Avoid gossip, avoid negativity, avoid negative speech. Get away from that stuff that is of the curse, it is of the enemy. It will do you no good. Move over into the positive. Speak the word of God over the church. Speak the word of God over your pastors. Speak the word of God over your missions. Speak the word of God over this city. Speak the word of God over your neighbors and friends and family. And see the power and the might and the awesomeness of God work miraculously in those situations. Amen. Amen. That is the word of God for you this morning. And so, many Christians don't realize how important this is. I was speaking to somebody yesterday who's writing a book about spiritual things. And she was speaking to me yesterday. Now, I just want to repeat the conversation to illustrate, you know, what she was saying, what I'm talking about. You know, at the beginning of the conversation, I was going, amen, that's good, excellent. And then as she kept on speaking, I'm going, oh, don't say that. Oh, what are you saying? You want to hear the conversation? Okay. She said, you know, Daniel, you said, I was reading the word this morning and it says that we are being changed into the image of God. I thought, yeah, amen. From glory to glory, we've been changed. It's like looking in a mirror. We've been changed. Sometimes we don't realize we need to look in the mirror and see Christ in us. And I'm going, amen. She said, it's good so far, right? Who's agreeing with me? Amen. Good. Excellent. And then she said, you know, I'm writing lots and lots of stuff about this. I said, oh, that's good. She said, I'm actually writing a book. Great. Good. She says, I'm writing so much, it's killing me. What? Okay. All right. She says, I don't know, you know, it might take me 10 years to finish this book. Okay, that's your confession. That's your faith, right? And she said, it's so good. I'm enjoying it so much, but probably nobody will ever read it. Now, this lady is a beautiful lady. Is she a Christian? Absolutely. I have no doubt about that. Does she love the Lord? Oh, yeah. Does she do devotions every day? Yes, she does. But she doesn't realize just by what she's confessing out of her mouth, she's declared stuff about her book. Her book's probably awesome, right? But what has she said about her book? It's going to kill her? It's going to take her 10 years and nobody's going to read it. How important are words? Now, you might think that I'm a bit overboard on this, but when for somebody that has to live by faith, I can't afford to speak negative faith in my life. Amen? So, I often hear Christians say this. I am so sick to death of this. It was so funny, I killed myself laughing. One person said to me, and I stopped them straight away. They said, Pastor Daniel, that was a killer sermon this morning. I said, no, it was a life-giving sermon. It wasn't a killer sermon. No, I'm not killing anybody. I'm giving them life. Amen? Now you think, well, he's been a bit overboard. No, I'm not. I'm talking about living by faith. What you say is important. What do you declare about your life? Oh, I'm sick. I'm probably going to die. Is that what you say? Have it then. If that's your confession, that's what you believe for. Can you see how important it is? You might say, oh, Dan, you're being a bit overboard. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Oh, you know that church? You know what the famous word of doubt is? The famous doubt word? It's the word but. Okay? It goes like this. That International City Church, that's a great church. But here comes all the negativity, all the lack of faith. Here it comes. Are you ready for it? But, and blah, 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 blah. And everything that they were believing for is now negated by negative faith. Oh, you know, I've got a great marriage. But. And off we go. You know? Kids don't love me. Dogs, you know, doesn't even love me, doesn't greet me. You know, kids have to walk backwards to school with shoes, no shoes, uphill. You know, it's just negativity, negativity, right? But what I would like to hear is this. But God's word says this and declare that. Amen? Am I touching on it? Am I saying something here? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen. Why is that? Why is that so important? Why am I going on about that? I'll tell you why. And we're going to use Genesis. Genesis is at the beginning of the Bible, if you remember. In Genesis, it says that you were created in 1:27 in the image of God. What does that mean? What does that mean? Does that mean we go, oh, and we float around, we're in the image of God? Oh. What does the image of God mean? Okay, well, let's look at God. And God said, light be, and light was. In fact, the first words that man ever heard, so man wasn't around when God was light being and everything else like that. He wasn't there. He wasn't created then. What is the first words that man ever heard uttered by God to him? 1:27. Blessed be. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. The first words that man ever heard God utter over his life was, blessed be. Not cursed, not, negativity, blessing. So we are created in the image of God. That means that our words have creative power like God through faith in God. Not of ourselves, lest we boast, but by the power of the word, which is the power of the word of God, the living word, Jesus Christ, by his word and by his testimony, we declare our word, and our words have creative power in our lives. Now, who's a uni student here? Okay, I got a few. This is for the uni students. It's a bit intellectual. You ready? This is a bit out there, okay? So everybody else that doesn't like the intellectual stuff, just have a bit of a break, go on a commercial break, because this is for the uni students. So you ready? The devil is not created in the image of God. He has no creative ability. He can't create anything. Only God can create stuff, and we can create stuff through faith, through our words. So why was it so important for the devil to gain authority over the man in order to do what he does? He has to do it using the power, your power. Because you were given dominion over the earth. You were given power over the earth. And when the devil came, sin entered the world, and that power was given to the devil. So how does the devil, who cannot create, how does he create things? Through your words. And what has Jesus Christ come to do? Release us from the power of the devil. Put back the dominion that was rightfully belonging to man, give it back to God, overcome sin and death, take the keys of Hades, give it back to man, install man back in his proper place, install man back in the authority that is given to him, make him seated with right hands of the Heavenly Father. What does it mean to be seated at the right hand of the Heavenly Father? It means that we have authority. All authority has been given to me, I give to you, Jesus said. He has put us back in authority so that that creative power no longer belongs to the devil, that creative power no longer belongs to the enemy, that creative power now belongs to God. And we speak no longer as agents of the devil, creating evil in this world, creating negativity in this world. We now are the children of God by the power of God, declaring the faith of God, declaring the words of God, creating the power of God in our world and in our situation by the very words that we speak. Wow. What privilege God has given us. What a privilege that we have. You see that Originally, Adam was in 2:27 was given dominion over the world because he says that every beast of the earth was given to Adam, and he what? Named them. Why? Spoke over them. Gives them power. What did Satan do to get sin into the world? He made Eve doubt what? God's word. Did God really say that? Can you see it? Not only words are important, not only do they have power, but this is the revelation I want you to get this morning, that you have creative power invested in you by the very fact that you're created in the image of God, and you effect that power by speaking words of faith, by the utterance out that comes out from your mouth, you speak the word of God into your situation. Oh. Who's feeling good? Who's feeling pretty powerful? Who's feeling like you want to do something? Who's feeling like, oh, come on, God's given me so much, I'm gonna try this. I'm actually going to speak positive. You know, you can change your whole world by just the way you speak. Imagine this. A bloke comes home from work and he goes into his gate, goes under her house, gets the key, opens the door, walks into the house, and he says, "Honey, I'm home." And the wife says, "Oh, it's you again. You're home already. Okay, get your gear off or get them washed." See? That's one way. Imagine this. Same guy. Comes home. Walks up the gate. Opens the gate, goes up the front door, puts a key in, opens the door, says, "Honey, I'm home." And she says, "Come in, you mighty man of valor. Enter into the house of your domain." Hey? Now, what would that man do? First thing he would do, he would go out, check that he got the right house, come back in. And I'll tell you what, it would be a different night that night. Woohoo! Amen? Woohoo! Just by the words she spoke. So, wives, try that out next time your husband comes home. It could be quite interesting. This is the truth. Let's go to John chapter 8, verse 31 to 32. Who's enjoying the word this morning? Who's feeling challenged and excited to step out in faith and declare the word of God over your life? I just want to leave you with this teaching. This last little bit before I declare Mark 11, 22 to 24 over your life. And found in John 8, verse 31 to 32. And Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." We don't need to live in a negative world. We don't need to live constrained by this government or the economy or the situation. I work in persecuted countries. But the Christians are happy. Why? They don't live under the constraints of this world. You know, I was just at a church the other day, and I was sitting, there was a group of men, and they were all talking. And the man was saying there, "Oh, you know," he says, "they're all being laid off there at my work, you know. I don't know what's going to happen to me. I could be the next one, you know." And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm going, "Don't say that. Don't say that. Why? You're a Christian. Why are you saying that?" So I'm listening to it, and I couldn't help myself. I couldn't take it anymore. I can't listen to this talk anymore. So as they were talking, all in a group of men, I did something. As he says, you know, I don't know, I might be the next one. This economy's going down the hill. The government doesn't know what they're doing. You know, we've got all this, and the mining boom stopped. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen to my life. Right? And then I jumped in. And I said, oh, but you're a child of God, aren't you? God will never leave you, won't he? He'll never forsake you. He says in his word that he'll never forsake you. You're secure. You're okay. You live under the blessing. You don't live under the curse of this world. You live under the blessing. You have the right to declare the blessing of God over your life, don't you? It doesn't matter what's happening to those other people. It doesn't matter what's happening to your company. God's got his hand on your life. Isn't that true? Now, he didn't know what I was doing, but I knew what I was doing. I was speaking faith into him. You know what? His conversation started to change. He goes, yeah, you know, I had a bad time once, but God came through. I've never gone without food, you know. God's always looked after me. And then the other bloke started, yeah, that's right. Yeah, God's pretty good, eh? You know, and then off they went. And the whole conversation went from, we're going to die next week, right, to God's never let us down, right? Just what? By the words they spoke. Amen? Now, that's my teaching. I want us to go back to Mark chapter 11, verse 23. And reading from verse 22. And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Now, why is this important, what I just said to you, that if you know the word will set you free. This is just not positive speaking. Okay? It's like, you know, you're not just going around saying positive things, that's going to change your world. All right? That's actually a New Age thought. That's actually not the spirit of God. That is actually a New Age spirit, where they just positive power and energy and all that, you know? That's not what I'm talking about here. It's very important that we link our confession. How do we overcome the world? By the confession of the word of our testimony. Who is our word? Jesus Christ. By the confession of God's word in our life, we overcome the enemy. Not by just positive speaking. So it's important that we base our confession on the word of God. Okay? Now that doesn't mean that we're just going, you know, walking around just being all positive, you know. Somebody might say, look, you know, I'm feeling sick. I've got, you know, I've been diagnosed with cancer, for example. You know, I've got cancer. And they're just saying, I'm so happy. I've got cancer. It's so good. I'm just positive, 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 positive. You know? Or they might say, well, we can't say the negative. So the doctor's report says, I've got cancer. And you say, I haven't got cancer. But the doctor's report says, you've got cancer. I haven't got cancer. Is that, I'm being positive. But the doctor's report says, I'm being positive. Look, right, I'm being positive. Is that all I'm talking about? No. It goes like this. You've got cancer. Somebody says, how are you? Well, the facts are, I've got cancer. But facts can change. The truth is, I have my healing in Jesus Christ. And I will declare my healing in faith over my cancer. Can you see the difference? It's not just positive speaking, it's declaring the word of God in faith over your situation. Amen? Very important teaching. I don't want to be like preaching New Age here. I teach about Jesus Christ and the power of the blood of the Lamb. And the power of Christ is the answer to your life. He is the one that can, we can do nothing of ourselves. Nothing is impossible for him, but we can do nothing of ourselves. It's through Jesus Christ we can attain everything that is before us. We obtain our blessing through faith by what we speak. In our words. Wow. Now I can read, after all of that, Mark 11, verse 23. Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, Whoever says to this mountain and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says, it will be done, and he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Amen. Amen. So no matter what mountain you're facing this morning, no matter what sickness that is before you, no matter what financial difficulty is before you, if you've got marriage problems this morning, if things around you, if your work is in problem, if things around you are in gloom, let me tell you, there is a Christ that lives. There is a Jesus that lives. And we can turn to the Word of God. We can turn to Jesus Christ. And we can call Him in our time of need. We can call Him in our time of trouble. And we can say to our mountain, whatever our mountain may it be a mountain of affliction, may it be a mountain of needing healing, may it be a mountain of financial crisis, whatever our main mountain that may be before us, we can declare the Word of God to that mountain and say, be ye removed from my life in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through faith I declare it, because the Word of God says I live under the blessing and not under the curse. In the name of Jesus, be gone. Amen. Amen and amen. Why don't we stand? Hallelujah. I trust you've received, I don't know how long I preached for, but I get excited about the Word of God. I could preach all day to tell you the truth. When I go to the Asian countries, they 3 hours is the standard time. So I've been easy on you this morning, let me tell you that. You know, your words that you say are the deciding factor in your life. And no matter how fierce the storm, no matter how big the mountain, what you say about it can change it. If it's through faith in Jesus Christ. The biggest miracle that exists in this world is this, is when somebody who's been living under the curse of sin has been going through life just completely under the burden of not living for God. Just think back what it was like for those that have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Just think back what it was like not to have a Christ in your life. It's terrible. It's a burden. That's the best way to describe it. It's like a heavy burden. But Jesus Christ said, I've come to make your burden light. 2,000 years ago, he came. And he defeated sin and death. The good news is, my friend, that 2,000 years ago, that Jesus Christ came in the form of a man to take the penalty of sin so that you may be free from sin, that you do not have to live under that curse and you do not have to live under that burden. The good news is, my friend, is that Jesus Christ has paid the price for your sin and you can live free. All you need to do is confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord and believe in faith that he has set you free from your sin, and you start to live for him by faith, and it's amazing how your life can change. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, nobody looking around at this point of time, I have a very important question to ask you. Is there anybody here this morning that has never made a public declaration for Christ, has never said, I want to follow Christ? You know, all over the world, this very Sunday morning, thousands and thousands of people are saying this very same thing. This morning, I'm making a decision to follow Christ. And what that means is I'm going to put away my life of living for myself, and I'm going to decide to follow Christ and start to receive his forgiveness for my sin. I'm going to come out of that burden. I'm going to come out of that cloak of sin, and I am going to receive his forgiveness and live a new life in him. Thousands of people around the world today are accepting Jesus Christ and saying, making that confession, their first confession of faith. How do you receive your salvation? By the confession of your mouth and believing in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I'm asking this morning, is there anybody here that's never made a public declaration saying, I choose to follow Christ, and you would like to do that this morning? If there's somebody here this morning, well, you to a new life in Jesus Christ. Is there anybody here this morning? Just quickly lift up your hand right now. In Jesus' name. Is there anybody here this morning? Just lift your hand up right now. On the count of three. One, two, three. Lift your hand up right now. Amen. From what I can see, that everybody here is a Christian and thinking about it, and I thank you for that. Now to the church, I have a very important thing I would like to do before I close this morning. That word, as I said, I've never preached that before. It's a new word. I preach elements of it in different places and different ways. In fact, the thing about you know, the devil being only an angel and having no creative ability. I actually got that in the car yesterday morning, and I was telling my daughter about it as we were driving. That's how fresh that revelation is. But this word about speaking the right words over your life and speaking the right words over the church and speaking the right words over your pastor and speaking the right words over your marriage and speaking the right words over your finances and speaking the right words over your health, that word is for you today. That was the word of God for you today. And I believe it has warmed your heart, and the Holy Spirit has been putting fingers, his fingers in your life and saying, you need to change that confession. You need to bring a correction there, because God is has an awesome life for you. God has something amazing for you, and he wants you to receive it. He wants you to take it. He wants you to accept it, but you need to operate in faith. And this morning you've been given the tool and the tricks of the trade in order to be able to operate in faith, and that is to speak the confession of the word of God over your life. Amen. So while every head is bowed, I'd like you to lift your hands to heaven. I'm going to lead you in a faith confession. Who'd like to go in a faith confession this morning? Who'd like to declare the word of God over your life this morning? Are you in for that? Amen? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say something, and I'm going to ask you to lift your hands to heaven. I'm going to ask you to declare it nice and loud and declare this over your life. Amen? Amen. Father in heaven, in the name of Jesus, I make a decision to speak words of faith, words of blessing, and words of life. I renounce and reject and repent of every word I've spoken against you. I cancel the power of those words and dedicate my speech to you. I understand words have power. I understand words create faith. I understand words can change things. So I give you my words. And you are, I am yours for you to command. I am not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel, but I'm moved by the word of God. God's word says, you are leading me. You will never forsake me. Nothing is impossible for you. I place my problem in your hands. I roll the care of that problem over to you. And in faith, I receive my answer. I take it, I believe it, I confess it, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, and I will no longer be double-minded in my words. Everything I do, whether word or deed, I will do for your glory. In Jesus' name.